Welcome to the Issuist Podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. One of my favorite parts of this show is bringing together unusual groups of people that would never be together in any other place except for here. And this week is one of those weeks. We brought together Congressman Harley Ruda and Meta World Peace. We're excited to have both of them. Meta World Peace talking about mental health, talking about the Lakers, talking about the NBA in China. But we begin with Congressman Harley Ruda. He is on one of the committees that's at the center of the impeachment inquiry. He's on the Oversight Committee. And he was in that room when all these Republicans stormed the SCIF. Even though there were Republicans on the correct committees in the room already, Republicans that weren't came in. It was this made-for-TV stunt, and he was there for that. He's got thoughts on impeachment. He's got thoughts on power outages. Talked to him about Katie Hill, who had a very, very bad week. We talked to him about all of that. So here is our conversation with Congressman Harley Ruda, Democrat from Orange County.
Welcome back to The Issue Is.
Alex, glad to be back on. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So you were there this week inside this secure room on Capitol Hill where the Republicans who weren't on the committee storm in wanting to get more information about what's happening, even though there are Republicans that were on the committee were in there with you. What was that scene like, and what's your reaction to sort of what's going on there?
Well, it's obviously a stunt, and there's an old adage that I learned in law school that if you don't have the facts, you argue the law. And if you don't have the law, you argue the facts. And if you don't have the facts or the law, you scream and yell and slam your fist on the desk. And that's basically what we saw this week.
That was a law school adage?
Yes, that's exactly it. Okay. So the Republicans stormed the room, even though almost one quarter of the Republican caucus has access to these hearings.
So they're in there. They're getting pizza. Sort of give us a little sort of play-by-play in color of what that felt like, what they were saying.
Well, first of all, you got to understand this, where we go, it's called a SCIF. And to get into the SCIF, this is a highly classified area. This is the House Intelligence Committee's operating area. So you have to go through a lot of doors and a lot of security. And while the members who were getting together, who were supposed to be there, both Republican and Democrat, we had about 20, 25 additional Republicans not on those committees, literally forced their ways through the doors, past the Capitol Police, some of them with their cell phones out taking pictures, which caused a huge ruckus. And not until they were finally cleared, we actually had to have the Capitol Police come in and sweep the premises because of all these unauthorized individuals.
Now, their complaint is that much of this is being done behind closed doors. They say that it would be more transparent if this was done openly. Here's what one of them had to say.
Adam Schiff is running a Soviet-style process behind closed doors where he's trying to impeach a president of the United States in secret.
So that's the number two Republican saying that that it's a Soviet-style process. Your response to that?
Yeah, just empty rhetoric. And here's why. We have to make the distinction between what happened under Nixon and Clinton. Both of those situations, there were allegations of violations of law. There was a referral to the Justice Department for the Attorney General to then appoint special counsel to take on the investigation. Here, there was a referral to the Department of Justice. Unfortunately, Attorney General Barr, even though the president admitted to violating the law, refused to take it up. So the House is left with doing this process behind closed doors initially with access, again, to three committees, which is exactly what those special counsel would have done in the previous two situations. It will come out into public hearings and release of the transcripts soon.
And so based off of the evidence that you have now seen behind closed doors, did President Trump commit high crimes and misdemeanors, and should he be impeached?
Well, clearly the president has admitted as much in the call memorandum that was released. It was clear as to what he was asking for. And what we have seen with each one of these witnesses coming through is that what we're learning is not just that a crime took place, but how much effort was in the setup and the cover-up of that crime. It will be up to every member to make their own decision as to whether that's impeachable conduct. I am of the belief that when the president of the United States commits criminal acts in office, that's an impeachable offense.
So in terms of what you're saying, you believe that the president should be impeached?
I do.
And do you think that there's any chance that the House doesn't impeach him?
I think it's a very low probability that the House will file articles of impeachment. The Senate's a different story.
Let's talk about some of the other issues here locally, because impeachment is an issue, and Ukraine is something that a lot of people locally may just be able to sort of put blinders on and not mm-hmm. deal with. Some of the power outages and fires we've been having recently, another story. You can't ignore that, even if you're not into politics, right? One of the things we've seen is this power shut off process. Millions of people in this state being left without power as a preventative thing to try to limit liability for some of these utility companies. I asked Governor Newsom about that this week. This is what he had to say. Governor, Democrats have been in charge of this state for a long time. You were lieutenant governor before this. What went wrong in terms of regulating?
I'm not looking back. I'm taking responsibility and I'm moving forward, period. It's more than just climate change, and it is climate change, but it's more than that. And as it relates to PG&E, it's about dog-eat-dog capitalism meeting climate change. It's about corporate greed.
Are you concerned about what you're seeing? I mean, do you think that the federal government needs to get involved in this in any way, or is this really just a state issue?
Absolutely. We're going to need the federal government to get involved with our electrical grid across the United States. It's antiquated, and as we see increased concerns with climate change and its impact on adverse weather events, the need to have a comprehensive federal reform, working with the states to make sure that we can have a truly 21st century electrical grid is paramount.
I mean, are you concerned that the Democrats maybe haven't done a good enough job in regulating this over the years?
No, I don't think that's the case at all, because I think Governor Newsom is right. This has been historically a situation where you have for-profit companies not making the investment in the infrastructure that they need to. But also, you do need a good partner at the federal level. And the federal government has failed, in my opinion, to get an infrastructure bill through for many years now. And that's exactly what we need, not just for the electrical grid, but so many other areas as well.
I know you're a believer that climate change is a driver of some of these massive fires. Unfortunately, it seems like we have this new normal of just being prepared for these massive fires, mass evacuations, mass power outages.
Right.
What do we do about that long term? How do we get a handle on that?
Yeah, we just had, just a few months ago, I had a hearing. I chair the Oversight Environmental Subcommittee. And so we had a hearing in field to address California wildfires as an example of some of the wildfires we're seeing across the United States. We're not unique, but we are going to have to prepare better for these storms, for these fires and the storms as well, and make sure that we also have a better response afterwards. But a lot of this is preparation for a changing world, as you point out. And as climate change creates more severe, more often storms, we have to be better prepared.
Another issue that happened this week, I wanted to get you to weigh in on. You came in as a freshman. Mm-hmm. You've gotten probably the most attention from any of the freshmen, other than perhaps Katie Porter and Katie Hill from Southern California. Mm-hmm. Tough week for Katie Hill this week. Ethics committee now investigating a relationship she had with a congressional staffer that she admits to. She denies, a relationship she had with a campaign staffer, which she admits to. She denies a relationship with a congressional staffer. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I did read her apology about the inappropriateness of the relationship with the campaign staffer. And the office staffer that I think is under a continued investigation. So we'll see what the ethics probe does and says.
Anything else to add on that?
Yeah, Katie is a friend, and I want to see the facts evolve. She's come out very strongly that what's being placed out there is not true. So I want the right process to take place here.
Okay. We also like to have a little bit of fun on this
show.
So we do something called personal issues, which gives us more of a sense of who you are and get people to get to know you a little bit, right?
Okay.
All right. So let's have a little fun. We're going to put 30 seconds up on the clock. Here we go. What's your favorite sports team?
My favorite sports team is the Ohio State Buckeyes.
All right, how about that? Favorite sport to play?
Golf.
Favorite Disney movie?
The Incredibles is a Disney movie. It would be that, but it may not be a Disney movie, so I might have to take a pass on that one.
All right, favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show right now is probably Succession.
Oh, favorite book?
Anything that my wife writes.
That's smart man. Favorite Republican?
I tell you, from the freshman standpoint, I really like Denver Riggleman and also Anthony Gonzalez.
And favorite snack?
Favorite snack, it's pretty hard to beat a great chocolate chip cookie or brownie, especially Fridays in the studio, the ones your mom brings in.
There we go. Look at that. He gave a shout out both to my mom and your wife. That's why you're a successful politician, right?
Our thanks to Congressman Harley Ruta. And now to a conversation with Meta World Peace. Backstory on this. He had posted months ago on Twitter saying something that he had a lot to say, but nobody wanted to talk to him. I responded, I'll talk to you. I've got a show. We'd love to have you on. We went back and forth on Twitter. Eventually, he put me in contact with his publicist. She helped set this up. He wanted to help promote this app that he's got coming out called X versus X Sports. We'll talk about that in a minute. We also talk a lot about mental health. So here is Meta World Peace.
Welcome to The Issue Is. Good to have you here.
It's really good to be here.
So let's talk about the issue first, though, of mental health, which you have so prominently become a spokesperson for awareness of that. What do you think is the most important thing for people to know about the issue of mental health?
I think the most important thing to know about the issue is that you want to be vulnerable, and the more you speak out and feel comfortable with yourself, the more you're going to help someone else. For example, in the NBA, we had a few people that came out as being gay. And then you had a few people come out as having mental health issues, such as Kevin Love and DeMarcus DeRozan. And when you're vulnerable, it shows a little strength because it shows that you're trying to improve yourself.
I mean, is that especially hard to do, though, in a pretty macho-driven, masculine environment like professional sports?
It is. You know, in 2010, when I won the NBA Finals with Kobe Bryant, the Lakers, and Lamar and all those guys, I said, I want to thank my psychiatrist.
Right.
And that was kind of dangerous.
We've got that. Let's play that if we can. This is that right after that championship, biggest moment of your professional life, and this is what Meta said.
I definitely want to thank my doctor, Dr. Sandy, my psychiatrist. She really helped me relax a lot. Thank you so much. It's so difficult to play. All this stuff. There's so much commotion going on in the playoffs, and she helped me relax. I thank you so much.
How did that change everything for you and change things for so many other people?
Well, for me, in 99, if I would have said that on television, it wasn't as acceptable. Mm-hmm. And people make fun of people. Oh, he's crazy. She's crazy, right? And when I said that, it kind of broke the barrier. And now you see more and more people coming out. And I thought that was really important to do it on that level. The NBA, 40 million people watching.
Right.
That's the type of programming where you want to get that type of message out.
Right, and interesting with like the greatest legends of the game that they were showing them at the time, Kareem, right. Phil Jackson, other people, while that was being said as well.
Yes.
When did you know for you that this was an issue? You were a teenager?
Long time, and it's a mix of environment, household. Sometimes it could be DNA, you know, it could be hereditary. You just never know where your mental issues come from. So it's just important to address it and being diagnosed the right way, that's important for people to diagnose everybody differently, not the same.
And you've been diagnosed with depression?
Well, early on, I had a little bit of depression, a little anxiety. And it was so many. I had a lot of doctors since 13 years old. Mm-hmm. I've seen maybe over 20, 25 psychologists. You know, and so I just realized I just continue to improve myself, and I'm happy.
You're happy now.
Absolutely.
What does happiness mean for you?
Happiness to me is just, you know, just enjoying your day, you know, going shopping, you know, watching, I mean, I watch a lot of movies, you know, whatever you want to do in your life. I mean, I'm going stargazing for my birthday, you know, just like, whatever is happiness to you, that's good enough.
What kind of feedback have you heard from people? And have people told you, hey, Meta, you talking about that, like, saved my life?
Absolutely. Lots of people came up to me and told me, when you came out, it made me want to really think about my life and come out also. I got that message from so many people.
And what is your message for people that are now struggling with depression, struggling with bipolar, struggling with other things out there? They're embarrassed to
right.
talk about it. They don't want to bring this up. They don't even maybe want to admit that they're dealing with it.
You hit it on the nose, embarrassed to go out and say, hey, I need help. If you're in college and you're in a group of students, I need help. Something's bothering me. If you're on a basketball team, a softball team, hey, I need help. Something's bothering me. Don't feel embarrassed. Anytime you're empowering yourself, that's a positive thing. You got to feel like you're empowering yourself rather than being weak.
And what do you say to yourself internally when somebody says, hey, that guy's crazy? People used to say, that guy's crazy.
Well, when people used to say I was crazy, it used to always bother me because nobody wants to be called crazy. And then eventually I started to embrace it. And I started to, yes, I am a little crazy, because I started to ask myself a lot of questions on how I grew up and different things like that. And I am. If anybody grew up how I grew up, you'd be crazy too, maybe.
Yeah.
So I started to accept it. And then I started to just continue to improve myself.
Yeah, and now you're doing so many things. You're an entrepreneur in several different things.
Yes.
So we're going to talk some more about that in a second. But before we get to that, I want to play a game called Personal Issues. You just saw this with the congressman. This is for you. We're putting 30 seconds on the clock, and we're going to get to know you a little bit, all right?
Okay.
What's your favorite TV show?
Favorite TV show? C, coming out on Apple.
Okay. That hasn't even come out yet, right?
It hasn't even come out. I saw the preview.
Favorite way to relax?
Favorite way to relax? Is with Alberta Hunter. She's an artist from the 1880s.
Okay. Favorite teammate?
Favorite teammate? Kobe Bryant.
Favorite athlete of all time?
Favorite athlete of all time? Floyd Mayweather.
Favorite rapper of all time?
Favorite rapper of all time? Tragedy Gaddafi and cannabis.
Favorite kind of car?
Favorite kind of car? A red sports car.
Nice.
And for mental health, you can't have Meta World Peace on and not talk a little sports. We began with the discussion of this new app that he's launching.
Meta World Peace is one of several NBA greats involved in a brand new venture called X versus X Sports to make it easier to play pickup hoops. Meta joins us once again. And as a pickup hoops player, I think this is really exciting.
Yes.
How does this work?
So you sign up to the app, and right now we're in the early access phase. So you sign up, and then we notify you when the app is going to actually launch. When the app launches, you'll be able to find courts right next to you. So you know how at times you're not able to find a court because maybe you're working and you're not able to play. And then maybe when you get off work, you want to play at 5 o'clock. Maybe you want to play at a lunch break. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be able to find a court and play at your level, whether you're a competitive player, recreational player, semi-pro, all the way to pro at my level.
And these are games that are officiated, right? You keep track of scores.
Absolutely.
You got jerseys.
Right.
So you essentially, and it's, what, $5 to join? As little as $5 to join?
It's $5 a month to join, and then we're going to eventually have it where if you want a referee at your game, you can do that on the application. If you want a scorekeeper, you can do that. Your stats stay with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, for those of us that play pickup games, it can be expensive to just try to find a court.
Absolutely.
So this is pretty cool, pretty exciting.
It's really exciting. What we did last game, we picked the best X versus X's, and they had a chance to play in a celebrity game, which they saw. So yeah. People that was trying to make it got a chance to play with celebrities and pros.
Like you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, we also had a big week because it was the launch of the NBA season this
yeah.
week, right? We saw the Lakers play the Clippers. The Clippers beat them this week. What's your take on the Lakers?
The Lakers are going to win a championship this year. And, I mean, it's hard to say because I'm a fan of Kawhi Leonard, big fan for a long time, big fan of Lou Williams. I think he should have been an all-star last year, and he should be an all-star this year, maybe third-team All-NBA. So it's going to be tough to beat that team, but AD is going to have something to say about it, and I can see the Lakers winning the finals.
So you think the Lakers are better than the Clippers?
I think the Lakers are the best team in the world.
Why is that?
Because, you know, when you got AD and LeBron, you got these like Troy Daniels, and you have Danny Green and Rondo at the point guard, and you Dwight Howard coming off, a hungry Dwight Howard, I think these guys are unbeatable.
You know, another big issue, was what happened in China, right? The NBA goes to China. There's this big battle over whether an owner should say anything bad about Hong Kong, and China takes away some games. What's your take on all of that?
My take is I think people should have the freedom of speech, and I understand everybody run their countries differently. But when you're working with America or America's working with China, you have to embrace the culture. Right. So the same way Americans is letting foreigners come in and buy real estate and do that type of thing, which is really hurting our future American real estate owners because all the real estate is being bought up by foreign countries. So you got to have some type of, collaboration, with culture. So I think hopefully the NBA China and the country of China and America could somehow, work out this issue.
LeBron got a lot of backlash for even speaking up about this, suggesting that this Rockets owner shouldn't have tweeted about China while they were in China.
And I think I love LeBron, so I don't really want to talk much about that because I'm a huge fan, for one.
Yeah.
Right? But I think it's important for freedom of speech because not too long ago, people didn't have freedom of speech.
Right.
And people are fighting for freedom of speech. So, but I kind of got what he was saying from a business standpoint. But, from a freedom of speech standpoint, Daryl Morey, Daryl Morey should be commended.
Yeah. So Before you go, I couldn't pass up the opportunity since we got this new app.
Yes.
And I want to play on this app. I want to sign up for it, right? I want to be a part of it. So I want you to give me a tip.
Okay.
If I were to play, come play at this. Can we go over to our court? I'm going to take this jacket off.
This is the best coach in the world.
I got the best coach in the world. Absolutely. I got this opportunity. So if we're heading over here, what's your advice to me?
So my advice to you and the other 23 million basketball players that we're trying to reach.
Yeah.
So is when you're playing against someone like me, if you happen to play against me, Chris Copeland, Ryan Hollins, what you want to do is attack space.
Yeah.
And I call it the Stephen Curry strategy.
Okay.
If you watch Stephen, he's always attacking space. Try to reach for the ball. It's behind the back. Oh, it's behind the back. Oh, the ball. Oh. Stephen, see, and that lesson right there, what I just taught you, how I just took you to school, take that with you and take somebody else to school.
All right.
Our thanks to Meta World Peace. Finally, a bit of our conversation with Senator Barbara Boxer about a play, a one-night-only play, featuring Larry David and crew. Here it is.
The Russian government interfered in the 2016 presidential election in sweeping and systematic fashion.
All right. Thank you, everybody. That's our show. Good night.
Larry David narrates a comedic reading of the Mueller report. With Will and Grace star and President Trump foe Deborah Messing playing President Trump.
Bad actress Deborah the Messing is in hot water.
And Billy Porter playing Billy Porter.
There's no more time not to vote. There's no more time. There's no more time.
This sold-out, one-night-only event at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills, raising $250,000 for a political action committee run by former California Senator Barbara Boxer. Her group focused on electing Democrats.
To me, the issue is we have to keep Nancy Pelosi in the House being the speaker. We have to get rid of the Grim Reaper. That's what Mitch McConnell calls himself.
Boxer spent decades representing California in Congress and was in the House during Bill Clinton's impeachment. She's troubled by President Trump asking for Ukraine to investigate his political opponent.
I do believe he'll get impeached in the House. As far as the Senate is concerned, it depends on the evidence.
I will not be running for the Senate in 2016.
When Boxer announced she'd retire from the Senate in 2017, she assumed her friend Hillary Clinton would be the next president, and Boxer could step away from public life quietly.
For me, you know, I didn't expect to still be in this political world when I left the Senate. I honestly didn't, but I feel like Barack Obama said, you're a citizen of this country, and if things aren't going right, don't just sit back and complain. Do something.
Barbara Boxer. So that's all for this week. Our thanks to Barbara Boxer, to Meta World Peace, to Harley Ruda, and to you for listening. Can't wait for next week. We're going to have L.A. Mayor Garcetti, also plenty more. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then, because that's how the way the world works. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy this, please rate us on iTunes. Please leave us a review. Please send me feedback. I'm at Alex Michelson in social media and really enjoy the active conversation. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening.